there would be no priestess of the tombs, and the dances of the dark of the moon would not be danced, and the sacrifices would not be made, and the blood not poured out, and the worship of the dark ones could be forgotten forever. She and her lord would like it to be so. They would set me free, Manon. Not while they are wrathful at you, little mistress, Manon whispered. Wrathful? Because of him. The sacrilege not paid for. Oh, little one, they do not forgive. She sat in the dust of the lowest step, her head bowed. She looked at a tiny thing that she held on her palm, the minute skull of a mouse. The owls in the rafters over the throne stirred a little. It was darkening towards night. "Do not go down into the labyrinth tonight," Manon said very low. "Go to your house and sleep. In the morning, go to Cossel and tell her that you lift the curse from her, and that will be all. You need not worry. I will show her proof. Proof that the sorcerer is dead." She sat still. Slowly she closed her hand, and the fragile skull cracked and collapsed. When she opened her hand, it held nothing but splinters of bone and dust. "No," she said. She brushed the dust from her palm. "He must die. He has put a spell on you. You are lost, Arha." "He has not put any spell on me. You're old and cowardly, Manon. You're frightened by old women. How do you think you'd come to him and kill him and get your proof? Do you know the way clear to the great treasure that you followed in the dark last night? Can you count the turnings and come to the steps and then the pit and then the door? Can you unlock that door? Oh, poor old Manon. Your wits are all thick. She has frightened you. Now you go down to the small house now and sleep and forget all these things. Don't worry me forever with talk of death. I'll come later. Go on, old fool, old lump." She had risen and gently pushed Manon's broad chest, patting him and pushing him to go. "Good night, good night." He turned, heavy with reluctance and foreboding, but obedient, and trudged down the long hall under the columns and the ruined roof. She watched him go. When he had been gone some while, she turned and went around the dais of the throne and vanished into the dark behind it. The Ring of Aerith Akbi. In the great treasury of the tombs of Atuan, time did not pass. No light, no life, no least stir of spider in the dust or worm in the cold earth. Rock and dark, and time not passing. On the stone lid of a great chest, the thief from the inner lands lay stretched on his back, like the carven figure on a tomb. The dust, disturbed by his movements, had settled on his clothes. He did not move. The lock of the door rattled. The door opened. Light broke the dead black, and a fresher draft stirred the dead air. The man lay inert. Arha closed the door and locked it from within, set her lantern on a chest, and slowly approached the motionless figure. She moved timorously, and her eyes were wide. the pupils still fully dilated from her long journey through the dark. "Sparrowhawk!" She touched his shoulder and spoke his name again, and yet again. He stirred then, and moaned. At last he sat up, face drawn and eyes blank. He looked at her, unrecognizing. "It is I, Arha. Tenar, I brought you water. Here, drink." He fumbled for the flask as if his hands were numb, and drank, but not deeply. "How long has it been?" he asked, speaking with difficulty. 2 days have passed since you came to this room. This is the third night. I couldn't come earlier. I had to steal the food. Here it is." She got out one of the flat gray loaves from the bag she had brought, but he shook his head. "I'm not hungry. This is a deathly place." He put his head in his hands and sat unmoving. "Are you cold? I brought the cloak from the painted room." He did not answer. She put the cloak down and stood gazing at him. She was trembling a little, and her eyes were still black and wide. All at once she sank down on her knees, bowed over, and began to cry, with deep sobs that wrenched her body, but brought no tears. He got down stiffly from the chest and bent over her. "Tenar." "I am not Tenar. I am not Arha. The gods are dead. The gods are dead." He laid his hands on her head, pushing back the hood. He began to speak. His voice was soft, and the words were in no tongue she had ever